Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
So, Sandy, welcome back. Discovered Wordsmith Part 2, and we're going to talk about publishing. But before we do that, a couple of author type questions for you. What did you learn while writing this book, and what are you going to do different with your writing?
Well, the learning curve of publishing was pretty horrible, pretty terrifying, but the writing itself is something I have always loved. So, the writing wasn't so bad. One thing I've learned as a writer, not just with this book, but earlier on, is that you have to have other people look at it. I know a lot of new writers or writers, even after a long time of writing, don't want anybody to see what they've written. And they're kind of afraid of the criticism or, you know, feedback. And it is just critical to get past that and to learn to understand how a reader receives what you've written, which isn't always what you intended. And it's important to sort that out before publication.
Yes, that's actually a very good point. And I never understood that. People that are like, yeah, I'm writing a book, I want to release it and sell a ton of them, but I'm too afraid to let anyone read it.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of a, well, you're in trouble then, because it's going to be hard for anyone to read it if you don't want them to. And I always looked on it as anyone that would read my book and give me feedback and good feedback, you know, like, you know, I didn't understand this or this was slow or, you know, whatever.
Yes.
I absolutely loved because it helped me get better. And I would much rather have someone personally tell me what they didn't like so I can improve it rather than put it out there and then get, you know, 400 one-star reviews.
Yes. And I think that people, sometimes are inclined then to just turn to their aunt who's a school teacher or their sisters and brothers and family members for feedback. And, you know, these are people who want to just be nice to you for a lot of different reasons. You really need writers or an editor to tell you writing things, the way that you've written something, the use of a word, the structure of it that might make something sound clunky. And these are things that other writers will notice that your mom or your sister is not going to notice.
Right. Exactly. And that's the whole point. You want people to read it.
Yeah.
So writing this, you had a slightly interesting approach because you had letters and other notes and things from several decades ago that you were referring to. So when you did the actual writing, what did you use to do that? Did you do it longhand or did you have some software that you used?
Well, I do my writing on Word, Microsoft Word, and I have tried a little bit to use Scrivener. I have not mastered it yet. I really like to because I think it has a lot of neat features, but I did all this on Word and I did not transcribe all the letters. I have them filed in a three-ring binder in order in sleeves so I could refer to them chronologically and that seemed the best way to get to them. I use quotes from those letters and of course those are typed in my Word documents as quotes. There are also a lot of other materials that I used. My mom has had a diary that she kept almost every day throughout the summer. And there's a there's this ledger type of book that records all of our expenses. You know, gas was 30 cents a gallon, and some of the costs of meals, we had one breakfast for eight people coming through Canada that was $5 for all of us. And the cost comparisons to today are pretty funny.
Yeah, I bet. That's, I mean, my wife and I, just to go to McDonald's is $20.
Yep.
So you mentioned the steep learning curve of publishing, but you said you've been writing for most of your life. So writing's not that difficult, much of a problem. It's the publishing part of it. So what was this learning curve that you feel you hit, and what you learned from it?
Well, I had written mostly what I'd written for money had been sold to newspapers, and all I had to do was, you know, write the article and turn it in. Seldom was there much editing asked of me, and I didn't have anything to do with the production part of it. In this case, I knew I needed to get an editor. I've been around writers long enough to know that, you know, self-editing has its limitations. So I needed to get an editor. I needed to have a professional cover design. A lot of people do their own and do a good job, but a bad cover is something I hate to see myself. So I didn't want to have that risk. I didn't know what order things had to be done in or how long these different aspects of it would take to get done. I researched some of the different options for publishing and decided to go with Ingram Spark. Okay. And I had to buy my ISBNs and you know, they're just, and I didn't know at what point do I need to have this done in order to get the next thing done. Or, you know, those were all mysteries that I came to some very frustrated points with. And I'm so thankful that I have a good network of experienced writer friends who I was able to call on and get a lot of good advice.
Right. Now you said you used Ingram Spark. Yes. Why did you choose to go with Ingram Spark?
Well, I wanted a broader distribution of the book than just Amazon. I use Amazon and don't. Amazon owns a lot of the world. I kind of like to spread it around a little bit.
So, did you get your book put on Amazon through Ingram Spark?
Yes.
Okay. And yes, how are you finding that? Do you like Ingram Spark? Do you like the whole setup? Or,
well, I like it. I'm happy with it. I find it a little bit frustrating in term. When I've talked to other people who have published directly through Amazon, it seems to me that they have access to far better, far more detailed reporting on the sales of their book than what I'm able to get from Ingram Spark. I will say some of that could just be my own ignorance about knowing how to find information, but I think it's true that people going directly through Amazon have access to better information from them.
Yeah. I'm also on Ingram Spark, but Amazon also, and you don't really get a lot from Ingram Spark. It very much is, I'll get an email and I'll look at it and says, you know, here's your sales for the month from such and such. And I'm like, oh, cool. You know, thank you for letting me know 2 months later. But I have no idea what made that sale, if there's any advertising that could have helped. You know, it is very, very sparse in that regard.
Yes, that's been kind of a frustration to me after the fact. But working with them initially was relatively easy, except for the fact that by the time I was sending them my files to publish, the pandemic was in full swing last spring, early summer, and their system had slowed down a lot. So I had set a launch date of the end of July, and I suppose I could have pushed it back when I saw this thing slowing down, but I didn't. And I was just optimistic. And I ended up having to get the copies printed by another printer in order to get them to my launch team before launch day.
Wow.
And it was an expensive and frustrating process to have to do that. But they did get to my launch team. So I was able to get some reviews on Goodreads and have reviews ready to go on Amazon on launch day. And the launch, I think, was very successful. You know, I've heard that the average sales of over a lifetime is only 200 or 300 books. I said to myself, well, if I sell 500 books by the end of the year, I'll be real happy. And I sold that, you know, that many books in the first month. So I was very pleased.
Have you looked at, first of all, I know you're involved with Jim Rubart. So did you use his training academy and the book launch blueprint that they have to help you get ready for your publishing and learn some of the things you didn't even know you didn't know?
Yes, actually, I went to his writing academy and three years ago, and then the book launch blueprint class I took was just the April before my book launched, and it was close enough to the launch date that it was a very high pressure class because I needed to be doing the things we were learning every day immediately. For my homework, you know, it wasn't right. Just homework. It was actually doing my book launch preparation. And that was vitally important in my success of the launch, I think.
Yeah. And I know Jim and Thomas have a really good training academy and book launch blueprint. And Jim does a lot of things. Jim definitely offers a lot of top quality in everything, all the courses and whatever else he offers.
Yes, I agree.
There are definitely others that aren't. So, you know, there's a little sales pitch for anyone listening. We both recommend Jim Rubart and Thomas Umstadt Jr.'s courses and Jim's Training Academy.
Yes. Another challenge that I found in the course of the book launch was the amount of content that I needed to keep up on for promotion. And when I say content, I mean, I didn't know what people were talking about when they said, oh, you need to have all this content. I had to have, you know, blog posts coming out, or ideally you would have blog posts coming out regularly, social media posts regularly, and then any photo or text or whatever you're going to use to promote your book, it's all content. And I found myself getting very anxious about and overwhelmed about needing to have, you know, be saying more. You don't want to just be going on Facebook every day and saying, buy my book.
Right.
You need to really, you know, interest people, not only leading up to the launch day, but to maintain some of that momentum over the next 4 to 6 weeks. Once you've built up the momentum, I had a launch team of 30 people, and by and large, they did really well for me. I was real happy with the way they participated, but I had not really planned well for the momentum to be maintained longer than just 2 or 3 weeks right around launch day. And I could have done better at that. But it's such a learning curve. Some people are more naturally inclined or more experienced with social media and might have, you know, have approached it differently than I did. But right. That I found real frustrating. And a few days after my book launch, I developed a very painful tendonitis, and I had to stop using my computer completely. So, yeah, and that pretty much slowed down the momentum too.
So you mentioned a book launch group. How did you find these people?
Well, I was real fortunate to be invited to be on a launch team a couple of years ago by another author. I learned a lot from the way she ran her launch team. She put together a private Facebook group. The launch team was made up of her, you know, avid fans, readers who had really reached out personally to her, and I think some other writers. And I'm not sure where she got her whole group. I think it was quite a bit bigger than mine. A lot of my launch team group, writer friends of mine, a few family members, and some other people who had participated in the book launch blueprint and wanted a chance to be on a book launch team before their turn came to put together a book launch of their own. And so I was glad to have them.
You said they helped promote the book. They helped do reviews, things like that. Walk me through a little bit more what steps you were taking with them before the launch.
Initially, I asked them all to read the book, and I gave a copy of the book to everybody on the launch team. Some of those were paper copies, and a few of them were ebooks. And doing it again, I would offer ebooks to the launch team. I found it, because partly of the delay in printing, I ended up spending a pile of money on postage to send the books out to them in time. I asked them, you know, if they felt they could give an honest review, to please write a review, whether it's just on their own social media or share it, you know, on Goodreads or whatever way they could share it. I asked them to watch the posts that were coming on my author page on Facebook and share those posts to personalize them. If they saw I was posting a picture of the kind of a van that we drove around in, a Greenbrier van, share that post, but with their own comment, my family had a VW van in the 70s or whatever, so that it was, you know, some of their own material along with not just sharing my post and that's it.
Right. So it was definitely more of a community feel, not so much of, hi, we're the team, so let us tell you why you should buy this book.
Right. And I also had them, you know, we had a private Facebook group, so I could answer their questions in a private conversation and encourage them. And we did some things like, we shared 60s music, 1960s music, and just fun stuff. What was the news of the day? We had a countdown to the launch with different themes each day. So one was the news and one was the, you know, hot cars of the 60s, and what was your road trip food. And each day had a theme, so they could put in their own take on whatever that theme was. And nice. I had visual posts that ideas for something, pictures that they could include with their posts.
So you did help guide them and supply stuff for them, but you kind of then let them go within those parameters, something that fit with you. And that's something you probably wouldn't have gotten if you hadn't explored your overall brand, which again, I know is something Jim pushes and talks about. So it sounds to me like that, you know, right there was a success for what he showed you, that it helped you go above and beyond just a normal, here's my ads for my book.
Yes. And I did, I did some things that I would not recommend as far as a financially well thought out plan. I hired a social media promotion company to do some ads for me. And what they did was very helpful, but it was also way more expensive than makes any sense for the book selling market.
Right. Not enough return.
Yeah. And I liked what they did, and I have kind of carried on promotions I've done after their work was done using some of the sort of same theme of visual images and the same kind of, it taught me a lot about how to make a cohesive looking ad campaign, but it cost a lot of money to do it.
Right. It was a very expensive education. All right. Well, Sandy, it's been a really great talk. I appreciate all the publishing advice for other new authors. But before we go, do you have any other last minute advice you would offer to any new authors listening?
I think maintaining a community among authors is it's very valuable. I'm part of a couple of different groups. I've had critique groups that have lasted for several years, and critique partners I value greatly. And I think just forming those kind of friendships, whether it's with a writing co-op kind of group in your area, somebody you meet online even and can connect with, it's important to have a writing community around you if you want good writing feedback and support in your writing career.
Okay, great. Good advice there. Sandy, I appreciate you taking some time and working through the troubles with me today to talk to everybody about your book. And it sounds like it was a great, not only experience, but a good thing to go back and revisit. So thank you for talking to us.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.